Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Big thanks to Jermon Bushrod for hanging out for a couple of hours today. I didn't win a Super Bowl in the NFL. I haven't played in 5 years worth of playoff games. So good to get his expertise on the program.
I agree with that. Again, we talked about this before with guys that played at that high of a level for that long. You watch a play, I watch a play, everybody else watches a play.
Yeah.
You don't see what he sees. You can't. And it's not ripping anybody else. It's just the ability to understand what went down, why it went down, how it went down, where it went right, where it went wrong. It's just it's something intuitive to a guy like that that just will never be to me.
Before we broke down the playoff games coming up this weekend for the last couple of hours, we started the show with the Redskins front office changes. I wanted to get back into those with a slightly different question and angle on this, but the bottom line is very simple. The new regime, and that really means Ron Rivera, code word Rivera, has come in here and said that he wants a different collection of people at the very top of the organization. That began before Rivera was even announced and introduced and had gotten the job with the firing of Bruce Allen. Eric Schaefer, who for nearly 20 years has negotiated the Redskins' contracts, is also out. A guy replacing him, who has already been hired to do that job, Rob Rogers, was brought in from Carolina, where he worked with Ron Rivera for many years. Doug Williams, who was Bruce Allen's right-hand man and basically the guy that looked up to and answered to Bruce Allen, right below him in the front office, he has also now been moved out of football personnel. Doug Williams is going to be essentially a mentor as a director of player development, a guy that players can ask questions of and tap into and talk to about anything going on with them. And maybe at some point football will be discussed and he'll get into, you know, mechanics and tweaking some things. But for the most part, this is not a coaching role. This is not a front office role. And I think this is smart. You come in and you say, who do we keep in positions that they have right now? Bruce Allen shouldn't have been one of them. Doug Williams should be in the building. He deserves to work for the Redskins, but he's not in a role he would have with any of the other 31 teams probably. So let's go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. I like the changes that they've made. I think it's a shame that Schaefer left just because as a contracts guy, he's one of the best in the league at whittling around the cap. But it's not necessarily a role that is pertinent to winning or losing necessarily directly. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Rodgers will be fine too.
Yeah, and again, Eric Schaefer, very approachable, very well respected within the industry. So it's a little bit hot take-ish to say, well, you're 3-13, so everybody's up for it. You know, because all Schaefer's doing is, okay, you want this guy? No problem. And he makes it fit. He makes puzzle pieces fit. That's his job. That's what his job has been. And he could have done, you know, well with more authority. He could have done well with less authority. Just a good employee. So there's nothing wrong with Eric Schaefer specifically, but somewhere in the chain it breaks down. And when you've got enough losing, you got enough bad, you got enough lack of fan interest, sometimes that's okay. It's probably good for Eric Schaefer, honestly, to get out of that building and get somewhere else. And he'll be a team president one day in all likelihood, an Andrew Brandt-style team president, right? So good for Eric Schaefer. But yeah, you did lose a quality person there. You're hoping that Rob Rogers is more than adequate in that regard, knowing the salary cap and using all the little math tricks to hide some money here, there, and everywhere to make the pieces fit.
Start of the show, we talked about whether or not it might be an issue that Ron Rivera was biting off so much, maybe more than he was able to chew. Now, you've gone to a restaurant, like I have, and you've sat there while hungry, and you've looked at that menu, and you've said, okay, let's get this appetizer. I want the deviled eggs, but I also want to try the buffalo wings, because I got to see if they're any good. Mm-hmm. Those will be good. Yeah. And then you order your steak with your mashed potatoes. And before you even do that, you say, at the beginning of the meal, you're going to get some dessert as well. So you've made up your mind, so now, at the end of the meal, even though you're pretty full, you get the dessert. And you realize on the back end, you ate a piece of bread, you had a couple of drinks. You can't finish everything.
Ah.
We talked about whether or not it's possible that Rivera, who's never been in charge of personnel, kind of running the whole thing, something he went on the record early this offseason before he got hired, on an NFL.com story with NFL Media's Mike Silver, and said, I don't really have that much interest in running a personnel department. I want to be consulted, but I don't want to be the end-all be-all. Well, he is the end-all be-all right now. Is that a problem? We got into that. My other question, though, and I think this is a different angle to tackle here, is there a chance this is it? They keep saying there's going to be a GM brought in the spring, and my question to you is, what if there's not? Could they just move forward a la the Houston Texans?
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien's not named a VP of football ops. Bill O'Brien's the head coach of the Texans. We all know they don't have a GM, and he's also their GM. But that's not a title on his business card, because I think it's an unpopular thing to announce. I think it leads to more scrutiny and strife and anguish and people jumping to conclusions and putting guys on hot seats. And so teams don't like everyone knowing that basically there's one person in charge of everything. Is it possible at all that the Redskins are just going to move forward with this way of doing things? What if they think in May they've had a really good last 4 months? They love the draft that Kyle Smith had. They love the list of players put together by Alex Santos and his staff on the pro side. Uh-huh. And they really like that Rivera's been able to answer with those two guys all the questions needed. They've got a healthy rapport as a trio and a triumvirate. And Dan Snyder's involved at the highest level. And they're like, this has been harmonious. This has been good. What if they just stick with this?
Exactly. And this is the thing that I'm worried about. Again, we have to offer the caveats because people are just tuning in and going, you're negative all the time. It's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is, even if it is that way, it's infinitely better than Bruce Allen making any decision with regards to the football team. Ron Rivera is a football person, a very knowledgeable one, a respected one, and a great guy. I'll take him in charge, even if it's an incorrect model, slightly off-center, than the alternative, which was Bruce Allen having any more time in the building. So that doesn't mean that it's perfect, though. What's perfect is, of course, you've got a head coach with a lot of authority, right, on who plays, who doesn't, who's active, who's not. Your scheme, your system, your things, the general manager, your job is to find me players that fit that. We can argue over guys. Again, Gibbs, Beathard, that's the model. Technically, Gibbs answered to Beathard, but we both know that it wasn't really that way, was it? Right? I mean, you want it, you need necessarily, in my opinion, to have the fights, the arguments, right? If you just give each other the silent treatment or if it's one way all the time, the relationship and the team are going to suffer. Anytime you've had this in sports where the coach is, you know, you draft a player, right? It's the coach's call ultimately, who's also the GM. Some 19, 20, 21-year-old kid gets drafted. Let's say initially, because he was the big swing and you know what on campus, his attitude isn't great. Coach says, screw this, I ain't dealing with you. The GM would say, with all due respect, coach, you are. Make this work. You got to make this work. He's too talented. Figure it out. Find a way to get through him. Those moments are in conflict, right? Some kid that comes in that's a hot you-know-what who doesn't pan out right away, you got to have a coach that's committed, understanding that he's going to be here for a number of years, talking about the player. You see this play out, right, where coach throws his hands up and says, I ain't dealing with that guy anymore. You need to have a cohesive, empowered organization, and that features a general manager, not necessarily that's going to boss the coach around and tell him what play he's running. We're not asking Brody Van Wagenen and the text the manager to take a guy to the game. No one's saying that far.
You're looking for Mickey Callaway.
You need a general manager to have some authority and some sway and some influence in the building. You just do.
Yeah, there is no doubt this is a massive upgrade from where we came from. So let's just start with that.
100%.
This is better than before. It is fair to ask, though, if this is the best way to do it. That's fair. That's realistic. That's not hating. That's not being negative. You only get a shot to get this right every 5 or 6 years. You understand that, right? You get a chance to reshuffle your organization every handful of years. Now, if you're the Browns, it's every year or two. Because you fire a coach and you fire your front office and you redo everything. But for the most part, it's like buying furniture for your living room or something. You're getting those couches and those chairs once every bunch of years. You got to get it right. You don't want to be uncomfortable. You don't want to have a bunch of stuff you don't like. Because you're not getting a new couch and a new chair a few months after that. You only fire your coach and hire a new one and fire your front office executives and bring in new ones every several years. So when you do that, it is a fair thing and a correct exercise to sit here and say, is this the best way to go about this? Are they doing this correctly? They're doing it better than they used to. Bruce Allen's gone. A guy that was very much high on the totem pole in Doug Williams is no longer being asked his opinion on players. These are progressive steps, according to all the people around the league I talk to that know what Bruce and what Doug do as personnel people. But you are also giving a head coach who has never run a front office the power to do so, and there's a possibility that it could stick this way. What if it does? And what do you make of the fact that this is now Ron Rivera's show through and through? 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. Hit us up on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Danny Ruya here for my pals at the St. James. There's no offseason, not at the St. James. The DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everybody. This is coming soon. What day is today? Is today the 10th? Next week or like the week after? January 18th through the 20th. St. James, the facilities are so great. They're hosting the inaugural Kevin Durant MLK Classic Basketball Tournament featuring some of the top high school teams and players in the country. You can use those courts, not necessarily during that tournament, but around that. They got swimming facilities, ice rinks, turf field house, a gymnastics center. It's unbelievable. Premium Health Club offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. That's pretty awesome, right? And now, plus, this is in addition, for a limited time, join the St. James and pay zero initiation fees and get $250 off of sports programming. Very, very cool. So much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
Josh McCown apparently tore his hamstring off the bone in the second quarter of his playoff game and loss against Seattle this past week, coming off the bench for Carson Wentz. Wentz took a shot to the helmet. Probably a dirty shot, regardless of a violent kind of bad look hit from Jadeveon Clowney. He got knocked out of the game. McCown comes on. He's the only quarterback on the roster. And so he's got to stay in the game. And he tears his hamstring in the first half and played through it. Nobody knew it. I guess, you know what they could have done is go to Greg Ward, who played quarterback at Houston.
Was he the emergency guy?
Had to have been.
Was he the Brian Mitchell?
He was a college quarterback. Mm-hmm. Has to be their emergency guy. But they stuck with McCown. They almost won that game. He didn't play badly, by the way. Can you imagine playing?
No. Nope.
I was about to say playing an NFL game with a... You could have just stopped it. Can you imagine playing an NFL game?
The answer to that is no. But then you double no with any... Can you imagine doing blank with a hamstring pull? The answer is no, by the way. I can't.
Tear your hamstring off the bone and get in and out of your car. Tear your hamstring off the bone and get up from wherever you fell down after tearing it.
Dude, it's so painful.
What a story. I'm a Josh McCown guy. He had a heck of a career. By the way, was coaching high school football this summer. I called him because when I did a story on Kevin O'Connell that I was writing, I was told that he and Josh McCown have a really good relationship. And basically, McCown was one of the first quarterbacks in the quarterback room that O'Connell had coached. And someone said he'd be really good to ask about his growth as a coach. So I called McCown, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy. And he was on the practice field with, like, his high school team, about ready for practice. And a few months later, he's in a playoff game, leading the Philadelphia Eagles down the field against Seattle, trying to win a postseason game at Lincoln Financial. Just crazy. Tyler is in Fredericksburg. Tyler, we're talking about the Redskins front office shakeup, the amount of power right now for Ron Rivera. What if they stuck with this kind of format where Rivera is the guy that everyone answers to and they don't bring in another GM?
No, I think so far he's doing a good job. You know, I'm not one of those fans that's going to gripe about the changes because we needed it. It's been needed for a long time now, and I think what Rivera's doing and bringing his guys and bringing in the right pieces is good. When it comes to him playing the whole GM role, it could possibly work out. You know, I'm not saying it won't, but I would feel a lot better if he still had a 60% say so in the ordeal with players and the personnel and everything. But I would feel comfortable if they brought in Kyle Smith, brought him up, because the stuff that he's done within the franchise and the players he's brought in is phenomenal. You know, we've had a great couple of drafts just recently. Heck, I think Doug Williams did a great job with what he's done as well.
I'd ask you, what has Doug Williams done? Everyone gives him credit for Adrian Peterson because he publicly took credit for that acquisition. I'll give him that one. I don't know that he I'm not sure I believe that he's the only guy in the front office that wanted to bring in Adrian Peterson. But let's give him say that he did that. What else do we know that Doug Williams did?
Just some of the players in, you know, even though they might not stuck, at least he brought in some no-name guys like Montez Carter, who came from Grambling. You know, if you watch his highlight tape, you know, he looked like he could have been a good third down back. Unfortunately, he didn't stick with us, but just be able to see those small school guys and actually giving them a chance. You know,
well, the guy you referenced went to the school that Doug Williams did, so he also didn't make the team. You lost me at the end there. I'll be very honest.
Yeah, listen, I would say that, you know, scouts beating the bushes, they're doing that. And, you know, you bring guys in for a tryout each and every week.
But
we don't hear about
it. But what did Doug Williams do? Well, he brought in this guy that I happen to think was pretty good that never played for the Redskins.
Didn't make the team.
I guess.
It's hard for me to give credit there. I mean, listen, I like Doug Williams, too. I think right now he's in a really good role.
This is what should be happening.
Doug Williams has some experiences, and that I will leave it at that. If you don't know, look it up. Doug Williams has gone through an awful lot in his life, overcome a ton.
He should have a job with the Redskins and be on their payroll for as long as he wants a job with the Redskins, as far as I'm concerned. That doesn't mean you get to play GM. And just so we all get it, previous to this, his title was essentially the GM. That's not really what he did. This was Bruce Allen's fingerprints and idea on, well, let's see, I'm going to have the most power possible, but I don't want to be under fire all the time. So what can I do to appease fans to make them feel better about this front office? Why don't I bring in a guy that people either won't say anything bad about, or every time someone does say anything bad about them, they're called bad things because people are upset that they're talking about a Redskins legend. So he hired Doug Williams in this role as kind of a deflector shield. Now, where I'm frustrated on Doug Williams' behalf, by the way, is that they would trot him out there at times when they shouldn't have. When Bruce Allen should have been talking after they acquired Reuben Foster, it was Doug Williams' job. Things like that. But he should have a job with this team, and he does. And I think Rivera correctly saw that. It's Doug Williams, man. That's a legend. He wants to be in our building helping our young people. This is a guy who coached at a college and ran some random non-NFL professional team as a general manager elsewhere, who accomplished what he did in the NFL and was a Super Bowl MVP. He should be able to come in and out of this building without asking anybody anything, anytime he wants to. So you have him with an office now, right when you walk in, to be a liaison to the players. I think that's a really sharp idea.
Yeah, all in favor of it, man. I think that's the right idea. So, but we're getting back to this convo about Ron Rivera, and the buck stops there. Right now, no games are being won and lost. You're not going to see any terrible things happen here over the next several days and weeks and months, right? Because nothing's really at stake. It comes to when your first conflict happens after a couple weeks of training camp, or when position battles are being decided. And Ron Rivera's going, well, I want to win right now. I got news for you. You may not be ready to win right now. Who knows? Maybe they have an incredible draft and the greatest offseason in the history of the world, and a bunch of guys pan out, and they're ready to be 10-6. I don't see that. I don't know if you do. But for me, this is why I worry about the next several months, because there's nothing really at stake, quote unquote, right? We don't know how good a draft class is or how good picks are until they've played 16, 32, 48 games in certain cases. So my bet is and the reason I keep bringing up this whole GM thing, Grant, is I can see the scenario you laid out, which is, you know what, you guys? The way we got it right now works really, really well, because there's nothing at stake. Nobody's lost. Everybody's going to go through this era of good feelings where there's a new fresh energy because Ron Rivera's here and he's such a great guy and everybody's falling in line and they're doing what Ron wants and Kyle Smith has another great draft class. Again, we don't know how great the draft class is, but it'll get rated very highly internally. Everyone will clap themselves on the back and give press conferences to how awesome this is, go on a publicity tour. Next thing you know, we're just actually going to keep it like it is. We're going to do this because maybe the guy we wanted wasn't available GM-wise or otherwise. We like how we got it right now, and that's my fear as to how this whole process might play out.
Marcus is in College Park. Must not be on the motorcycle today. What's up, Marcus?
Not today, but tomorrow for sure. Here's the thing, is I hear what you're saying, Danny. I'm in complete lockstep with you. I mean, the Machiavellian approach to anointing Rivera as the prince is not going to work in today's NFL. It just doesn't. It can't. People are going to point to Belichick and his success. He came along at a completely different time and has the GOAT at quarterback. Makes a big difference. Here's the thing, too, is I don't believe nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. Creativity takes courage. You can look that up. And there is no creativity in this system that's being developed. It's a rubber stamp hiring of the old boys net, which we have seen fail over and over and over again in Ashburn. What's the difference? There's nothing. And again, the man at the top who is selling everybody on the idea that he is letting Rivera control everything, better look into the past and see Marty Schottenheimer, better see what happened to the other coaches that have basically walked out on this team, including Joe Gibbs. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, pal. Always appreciate you. There's Marcus in College Park, and you can be like Marcus and give us a shout at 800-636-1067. What do you think Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen will be doing, or who will they be pulling for in the Kirk versus Kyle Bowl tomorrow?
The ex-lover bowl.
Who would they rather have win that game? We could discuss that. Also get back into the playoff field and a couple of other things we have not yet hit on today on G&D on the Fan.
I will say it because I felt this way as a fan my entire life. I felt this way as a coach, but I really believe there's only one team happy at the end of the year. You can be positive and stuff, but that gets you excited. But I mean, no matter what happens, I mean, there's only going to be one team that's truly happy at the end of this year. And we've gotten to a point that we're excited about where we got, especially compared to these last 2 years. But we have one expectation now. So we're not going to sit back and enjoy what we've done, because now it's about what you're doing right now and where you're going.
That was Kyle Shanahan at the podium yesterday. 49ers are getting ready for the Vikings, their first playoff game under Kyle Shanahan, his first as a head coach, obviously. They had the bye this past week. I'm not going to say my mind has changed on this, but I will say with, you know, age comes experience, and I guess as I get older, I view this differently a little bit. I used to think that a team like San Francisco doing what it did this year, 13-3 after the failures of the last two seasons, it's been so many years since they got to this point, that if they lost this weekend, say, to Minnesota, not that big of a deal, because it's about their process, and their process was great, and they're going to be back in the mix for the next couple of years in the NFC West. But as I have seen how that happens with, say, the Nationals in 2012 and 2014 and 2015, with teams like the Capitals for 10 years, now, luckily, there was a happy ending for both of those two teams, but it very easily could have been the other way.
Sure.
It took a million wacky instances and a confluence of fluky things going the Nats' way and balls falling foul and home runs being hit at the right time for the Capitals, a bunch of puck luck. You can go back through any of the games that the Caps or the Nats won on their championship journeys, and you tweak one or two small things, and they get eliminated rounds earlier, and it's more disappointment, and people get fired, and players get run out of town, and,
that's right,
and everybody's angry. If you're San Francisco, you're not going to have a better chance than this. That's how you've got to think about this. And maybe ultimately you do. Now, maybe next year you're 12-4 and the conference is yours again. But right now, this moment, you're playing a Minnesota team you're better than. Next week in the NFC Championship game, if you win, you're going to either play Green Bay, who is as beatable a 13-3 team as I can remember.
And didn't they just kick their butts a couple weeks ago?
Oh, you destroyed them.
Right?
On national TV, you eviscerated them.
Woodshed game.
Or you play Seattle without Chris Carson, mm-hmm, kind of a shell of itself in the running game right now with Marshawn Lynch. There's not a better path to the Super Bowl. So there's got to be an urgency for them. And I think if I'm a coach like Kyle Shanahan, that sounds like coach speak to say one team's happy, Super Bowl or bust. But genuinely, do not allow yourself to get comfortable and to feel like this is just house money. And I was thinking this way when the Caps got to the Cup. I remember thinking, oh, they finally did it. They got to the Cup.
I'm whatever, so happy we're here. Yeah,
whatever happens, happens. Had they have lost, I probably never see a Stanley Cup. Same thing with the Nats getting to the World Series. That was so cool to beat the Dodgers finally and to sweep the Cardinals, and now they get the Astros. If they didn't beat the Astros in October, maybe I never see a World Series. You just don't know. Maybe Garoppolo gets hurt. Maybe something weird happens, and the Rams go 14-2, and the Seahawks go 11-5, and you're 8-8 next year.
Well, beyond that, Grant, the NFL happens. With the other sports, you keep a core together, you got a window. Windows in the NFL shut. The Patriots are the exception. Nobody else does this. When 40% of your roster turns over after a good year, I mean, that's what the league is. It is corrections. It's injuries. It's volatility. If you are here, like, you got a window. I mean, the teams like that 14-2 Minnesota team that lost to the Dirty Bird Atlanta Falcons, one of the best teams I ever saw that no one will remember because they got upset in the conference title game. Should be kicking themselves. Every day you should wake up and be like, I can't believe we squandered that chance. Those same Falcons with a 28-3 lead over the Patriots should be kicking themselves because they missed that opportunity. You have no idea when those things are coming. A team gets to the Super Bowl and they go, well, this is the beginning of a dynasty, right? This Philadelphia Eagles team, Howie Roseman's a genius. They got to the top of the mountain, and that was without their starting quarterback. Watch them. They'll be back here for, oh, it hasn't gone according to plan, has it? You got smashed in your only playoff game. Not smashed. You lost by a point, one score. But you see my point. Windows are precious in the NFL. This is not a forever kind of league. It's what makes what the Patriots have done that much more exceptional. So you're 100% right. San Francisco, because New Orleans lost, just had out of the Arabic Road placed in front of them, dude. They got their path, and they may or may not have deserved it, but they're here. They've got as good a chance as anybody.
When this game kicks off on Saturday, and we start the playoffs with our inaugural little Cousins Shanahan Bowl, so to speak.
Oh, this is the game.
56 degrees, partly cloudy in San Francisco, Michaels and Collinsworth and Tafoya on NBC. Who will Dan and Bruce want to win? By the way, I would pay
so
a lot
much
of
hate
money
watching
to watch with those two. I wouldn't want to watch with one or the other. I'd want to watch with both. It's me, it's Dan, it's Bruce. We're in one room. We're eating, we're drinking, we're being merry, but I get to watch this game with them. You know they despise Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they hate Kirk Cousins nearly to the extent. Well, he probably dislikes Kirk more than Dan does, but Dan Snyder came around and started to try to invite him on his vacations and bring him on the yacht and ask him and Julie Cousins to come with he and Natanya Snyder to different things because that's what he does. He falls in love with his quarterbacks like he did with Robert Griffin, like he's done with Alex Smith. He's going to do the same thing with Dwayne Haskins when he's not busy studying his playbook every hour of every day. So eventually I think Dan Snyder said, I could get along fine with this Cousins guy. Who are they going to be rooting for? My guess is Dan Snyder will be rooting for Kirk, and I think Bruce will be rooting for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, Bruce is going to hate watch it. He didn't like anybody involved in this thing because Kyle and Mike made him look bad on
what's
the way
Bruce
out.
Up to these days? I heard, by the way, this is funny. I have a friend who works over at Morton's, so I hit him up. I always hit him up when the Redskins are doing like job interviews, right?
Uh-huh. You're like, who passes through the door?
Yeah,
let me know.
So what's going on? So I hit this guy up, and he never knows anything because he worked there years ago, right? But he actually told me, he's like, I talked to my buddy. Turns out they didn't bring Ron Rivera there, but Bruce Allen did go there tonight to get a steak. So the night that Bruce lost his job, he went to Morton's for a meal, his old stomping grounds.
Wow.
But anyways, what do you think Bruce is up to? Where is he going to watch the game?
Maybe one of the mansions, probably the one in California. And, he sold his house from McLean for a bit of a loss. That is not what he paid for it. So I think a great way to make it up, by the way, because I think a lot of Redskins fans would buy this. Let's just say you did like a $10, you got to Venmo me $10 and I'll give you the password to my live viewing party, like my Twitch account or whatever. If he just set that up and we could watch him watch that game, I would do that. I would sign up to watch Bruce watch Minnesota versus San Francisco. I'd want to see him. I'd want to see him hate watch this thing and get angry every time Kirk Cousins completes a pass, get angry every time Kyle Shanahan calls a stretch run play that gets 6.5 yards with Tevin Coleman or somebody else. I would love to watch him watch this game. I think Dan would pull for Cousins. Light pull for Cousins. I don't think he'd be excited if anything happens in this one. But I think he would rather have Cousins win than Kyle Shanahan win because of how that thing ended. Cousins,
I was surprised when we took calls, though. It seemed like the vast majority of our listeners would love to see Cousins keep winning and maybe
even get
to the
Super Bowl.
I was
surprised by that, honestly.
Me too. I mean, I would think even if you liked Cousins when he was here, after he leaves, you don't keep rooting for the guy. But it's a small sample. I mean, we took a couple dozen calls one day. But there were a lot of people saying, yeah, they'd love to see him go on to have success. Kyle has also been longer, and he was just less a prominent figure here. You and I care because we had to spend hours upon hours debating with people on the show if he was good or not. Which that's what's funny to me, by the way. Like now, people are joking about Kevin O'Connell leaving. If Kevin O'Connell was so good, why did their offense stink so bad? Like they have no memory of saying that. You said the same thing about Kyle Dummy. You said the same thing about Sean McVay.
Oh, remember when McVay was stupid, quote unquote, because he wouldn't run the ball?
Well, Eric Schaefer stinks. They were 3-13 with him. Just fire him. Everyone stinks. You said it about McVay, and you said it about LaFleur, and you said it about Kyle, and you said it about Kirk, and you said it about the Mike Shanahan, who, by the way, story came out today, watches every practice on film, every game, gives detailed reports to Kyle Shanahan.
Of San Francisco?
I mean, that's kind of been known in football circles. He's basically like a senior advisor to the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
But Kyle came out and talked with the media about just how plugged in and involved he's been with San Francisco every step of the way.
I think both men in question here, really the last decade plus ruiners of my favorite franchise. I would say there's no enjoyment out of that game, right? Because your most recent ex is Cousins, but sure, maybe the ex that did you the most harm was Kyle Shanahan. Because Kirk Cousins, when asked about the Redskins, now was like, I enjoyed my time there. He's a fun guy. And you know, then he moves on to talk about Skoll or whatever the hell. Kyle Shanahan isn't scared at a press conference to be like, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it there. There are 31 teams. Everybody's cool, except in Washington, whatever his quote was, you know. He still will openly reference how bad it was at the very end. And the way that ship ended, people don't remember this. That, to me, was the lowest point in Redskins history. I really believe that. I think that was the worst. You brought in a real champion, a Hall of Fame caliber coach, who may or may not make the Hall of Fame now, honestly, to run the whole show. An adult was in charge, and it went from that to exchanging leaks in various news publications about how bad the other party was. Just disgraceful how that thing ended. That, to me, was as low as I've ever felt as a Redskins fan, that not even a real adult could fix this stupid thing. And that ending was toxic. And I think Snyder still holds on to that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan getting ready for a huge weekend of both college football championship action and NFL playoff games right here on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 the Fan. I cannot stop looking at Derrick Henry's high school football stats. They're amazing. Have you ever taken your trip down this watering hole?
The greatest high school running back ever. He's the Derek Coleman of high school football.
So, I mean, this is just crazy. So I'll post these on my Twitter account here in a second. But on this email, this Axios email I get, they sent out, you know, a bunch of categories each day. And one of the things was just Derrick Henry. He was really good in high school. So I wanted to play a little game with you. I'll name the school that he played against, and you guess his carries and yards. Okay?
Okay.
This will be fun. He played against Gainesville on August 30th.
Gainesville's got a good program.
They do. Carries and yards?
On August 30th, early season, getting your feet wet.
Just getting them going.
He had 21 carries, and I'm going to say he had 230 yards, 3 touchdowns.
31 for 336.
Okay, I was a little low there.
And 3 touchdowns. The next week, in a 55-0 win, they played Potter's House Christian.
Potter's House Christian doesn't belong. They don't. So he, in this game, I'm going to say he had fewer carries because they ran up big. He had 19 carries, 400 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
It's not terrible. 15 for 242 and 4.
Oh, I overshot again.
Okay. Then they played South Lake, and they beat South Lake pretty good, 42 to 14. What was Derrick Henry's line against South Lake?
Now, 42 to 14 was the total on that one. 20 carries, 210 yards, 3 touchdowns.
You're getting a little closer. 41 carries.
That was half. That wasn't close at all.
Well, 303 yards.
Good Lord.
5 touchdowns.
Good heavens.
This next week's one of my favorite ones. This is the best. When they played Jackson on September 21st, do you remember that game?
Jackson.
You remember Jackson's program, though?
Yeah.
Jackson's pretty good.
Yeah, they're legit.
So this was a close game.
Inspired Johnny Cash song. I mean, that's how good they are.
They pulled away late. They won 45-28. What did Derrick Henry do against Jackson on September 21st?
I think it's an absurd game. I think this is one of those games where you got to be there, or people are going to claim that they were there to see it. I think this is a 38 carry, 445 yards, and 4 touchdown game.
How about 45 for 5'10 and 6?
5'10?
He rushed for 5'10 in a game.
How tall are you?
On 45 carries. Now, this will be boring if we do all of the games, so I'll only do one more. His craziest stat line ever, okay?
That wasn't the craziest one?
No, no, there's one crazier. This doesn't mean more rushing yards. It just means a crazier stat line. I think this was the playoffs. It might have been to get into the playoffs. I have to brush up on my high school numbers.
Sure.
Taylor County. You know Taylor County's defense.
Taylor County's going to bring it.
They make you work for everything, right? What did he do against Taylor County in November, on November 16th, getting ready for Thanksgiving?
33 carries, 314 yards, 3 TDs.
57 carries.
That's almost 60, man.
He ran the ball.
In high school, you even run 60 plays in high school?
They did that day. I think every single one of them was a Derrick Henry run.
12-minute quarters with some dad keeping the clock?
57 for 485.
Mm.
That's only 8.5 a pop.
What are you doing, Derek?
They really held him in check that day.
What are you doing, Derek?
6 touchdowns. He had a total of 4 6 touchdown games. He had 55 that year. So that season, he ran the ball 460 times, an average of 35 times a game. He scored 55 touchdowns.
Good Lord.
9 yards per carry.
Did he make all league that year?
327 a game. I think he made all district.
He made it.
Not positive. But just think about, like, you're just some little kid like me or you, and Derrick Henry's about to run the ball 57 times against you.
Certain times, just dudes are different. You know, my little tiny high school played against O'Connell. And O'Connell's usually a pretty good program. They're in Dar's Catholic League, right, where he went to Upode St. John's. And they're usually, like, behind the DeMathas, the Gonzagas, the Good Counsel Company. Every once in a while, O'Connell's nasty. Terrence Wilkins, who played in the NFL for those greatest show on turf teams,
yeah,
right? He was, like, their punt returner, fourth option at the receiver spot. Touched the ball 6 times, had 6 touchdowns in a rout. They beat my cute little school. And you just go, what are you supposed to do? What do you do against that guy? There's not one person that could tackle him in a phone booth, let alone on a 100-yard football field and however wide it is. Nobody has a chance.
Last thing I wanted to get to today with you, we don't have a lot of time. How do we get Kevin Durant to stop being such a baby? Why does Kevin Durant constantly feel the need to argue with people on Twitter?
I don't know.
About his legacy and about his achievements and about the Brooklyn Nets? Has there ever been a greater star who had thinner skin? Like, if you did a graph where the x-axis is the thickness of skin, and the y-axis vertically is how great you are,
he'd be 100 and 0.
Yeah, there'd never be a bigger, like, a dot further as far as, like, to the left and up as Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it would be just 100 on the y-axis.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
He's arguing with Kendrick Perkins about who, how helpful Kendrick Perkins was to his playoff teams and how good he is. And he's fighting with, no disrespect, we've had this guy on the show. He's a really nice guy. But Brandon Tierney, I'm BT. Why do you care about Brandon Tierney? No one outside of New York knows who Brandon Tierney is. Why are you arguing with him about the Brooklyn Nets?
I don't know. I don't know. What's the upside? Let's say you convince him you're right. Then what happens? You still get your millions of dollars to be a great basketball player? One of the greatest I've ever seen? I think you do. There is a waste of time and energy. I mean, maybe, listen, he's not doing that much right now. He's just rehabbing, coming back from his Achilles injury. So maybe he's got time to get the Twitter fingers going. It's one of those things I don't get the upside.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He got caught before tweeting from a burner account, like pro Kevin Durant stuff.
That's right, yeah.
You're doing too much.
Yeah, there's too much of it.
You're awesome. You're one of the best players in the history of the NBA. You're one of the greatest scorers ever. Stop caring what people on Twitter think about you. Twitter is a vitriolic, awful place. I don't get it. I've never seen a better player care more about what people think. Normally, the better you are, the less you tend to care.
Well, like, I mean, you think of the greats like Jordan, right? Now, he cared in the sense that he would grab, what did you just say about me? You just called me Mike? Or whatever the perceived slight was.
Do you think if Twitter was around, Michael Jordan would have a burner account?
This is what I'm asking. And he would take that, and that would become the motivation. That's, now you're getting 50 dropped on your ass because you said, hey, buddy, or something like that. Whatever the small slight was. How would he do it now? I don't think he would do Twitter stuff, but he would carry these vendettas and just kill people because
of it.
Durant's like, you're going up against some dude that can't play. Who are you mad at? I don't know.
Winners this weekend. I got the 49ers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Packers. So that's not going to happen because I just took all the favorites and all the home teams, and there's just no way that plays out. Who do you got?
All right, so we're looking at all of these games. I am going super quickly here for winners. San Fran, Baltimore, Kansas City, Seattle, my one roadie.
Enjoy the football this weekend. If you missed any part of the show, you can use the radio.com's rewind function or our radio.com app. You can also go to grantanddanny.com or thefandc.com. Brendan, I wish you two nights of being able to sleep through the evening with your baby. Jalen, have a great NBA game tonight. I know you're going to see the Hawks and the Wiz. There will be no defense today. Appreciate you guys.
Over under 300.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Our watch is in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.